Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Is anybody ready to hear the word of God this morning?
Yes!
Good to see you guys. Welcome to Vintage Faith. My name is Grace Kladnick, and I am one of the pastors here on staff. So excited that you're here today. You're looking good. Why don't you just look around for a minute? Look at people in the back, a couple people up on the balcony. I see you up there. Looking good, balcony people. Give somebody a high five. Just give somebody, let them know. I see you. I see you. So I thought it would be a great idea to sleep train our six-month-old baby this week and prepare for a sermon. Let me tell you, not a good idea. Rookie move. You would think by the third kid I would have it figured out, but I don't. Still struggling. But I will say, it's been two nights in a row that she has slept through the night, so can I hear an amen? Can I say it's been 6 months that Matt has been sleeping through the night? So great job, Matt. I'm teasing. He gets up a lot with me. It's very true. It's very true. So the other day, I had a bunch of errands to run, and I had a couple doctor's appointments. And you know, in LA, when you have a couple doctor's appointments, it's usually like your entire day, because you're going to Santa Monica. I am anyway, UCLA. I'm kind of all over the place. So I had to get out the door. I get my purse. I get my phone. I get into the car, and I go to set up my GPS to make sure I know where I'm going. And I see that my phone is not charged, and it's in the red. Has this ever happened to you? And I start to like, oh, seriously, I had my phone plugged in last night. Like, what the heck is going on? I need a new phone, Matt. I need a new phone. The new iPhone just came out. I might need to get a new one. It doesn't charge anymore, Matt. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in the car for about 15, 20 minutes. I'll plug it in. And don't you know, like, the charger in your car just doesn't ever seem to quite do the job when you need it, right? So I have it plugged in for about 20 minutes, heading to UCLA, and then I get out, and I'm like, okay, 5% more of my battery, great. This is going to get me through the lobby as I wait. And so then I get out of that doctor's appointment, I get back in the car, I'm like, okay, plug this phone back in, I have a 10-minute drive over here, I'm going to get, okay, 5% more, 10% more. And all day long, I felt like I was just trying to catch up. I wasn't anywhere where I could sit, plug that phone in, and just wait, right? I was in the car for 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here. And then I was like, oh, I have to go across town. Then I forgot to plug it in. So I get there. I'm like, seriously, I forgot to plug it in. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I can't update my Instagram stories? No one's going to know I'm stranded out here in LA. Don't have a GPS. What am I going to do? So I was a little panicked, right? I have to get this phone charged. And I wonder how many of us go through our day feeling that way. One crisis to the next crisis. Okay, once I get here, then I'll take a minute, I'll breathe. Okay, I got it. Now on to the next thing. And we're running on the red through our life. Does anyone else ever feel like that? Like you just can never seem to catch up. You can never seem to be fully charged, ready to go in your life and in your day. Am I the only one who feels like from moment to moment, I'm like, am I going to make it through? Okay, I just got to make it through this phone call with this person and then I'll be okay. I just got to get through this meeting. I got to get through this nap time. I got to get through school pickup and then I'll be good. I'll be good for the rest of the day. And then for some reason, I'm never feeling like I'm quite good. And I wonder if it's because you're like me when I got home that night and I said, look, I remember I plugged my phone in. This phone is broken, Matt. I need a new phone. Look, I plugged it in and I followed the line and it wasn't actually plugged in to the power source. It was plugged in. It wasn't plugged into the right power source. You guys are smart. You know where I'm going with this, right? So our lives, we're plugged into so many things, none of which are actually giving us power to live. None of which that are actually fully recharging us to live the life that's in front of us to live. One of my key verses in my life, which I love so much, is John 10:10. And it's Jesus, and he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have a life and have it abundantly. Jesus is laying it out for us, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he comes to give us life, and not just life, but life in fullness, life abundantly. I don't know about you, but a lot of days I'm not living life abundantly. I'm living life stressed, anxious, worried, run down, tired, overwhelmed, angry, responding and reacting out of my emotion. If that's you, you can say amen at any point. Amen. I'm not living this life of abundance that Jesus came to give us. It says it right there, I came that you would have. And then he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So man, if I'm not living in the life of abundance and the life that God has for me, where am I living? In a life that isn't much of a life at all. Powerless, purposeless, aimlessly wandering through my life. Sure, I get a paycheck each week, but am I really living the life that God has intended for me? And maybe it's not that literally your life you will die physically on this earth right now. But many of us, like, what's worse, dying and being in the grave and going, being with Jesus? What's worse? Is it living a life but not really actually living? Being alive every day but not actually having purpose for your life and living with direction? And living with power, Jesus came that we would have life and we would have it abundantly. American Institute of Stress, just to stress you out some more, says that 77% of the population experience physical symptoms associated with stress on a regular basis. I would think that it's probably like 99.9%, but okay, we'll go with that, 77%. American Association tells us 40 million Americans suffer from anxiety disorders. In other words, we are a society in the throes of a collective anxiety attack. Like, have you felt that? Just a tension all the time. Worry, anxiety. If you happen to ever watch the news, like, do you see many positive things? No. I end up having nightmares on a regular basis, like a fire is going to come and destroy my home, or someone's going to break in, or because of the things that I constantly hear about and see. This is not the life that God has for us. He has a life full of freedom, free from anxiety and worry. But can we really live in that? Is that something that we could actually see for our lives and live in it? I think so. Jesus didn't come to just give us a really good Sunday. Did you know that? I love being here with you on Sunday. He didn't come to just give you a really good Sunday. He came to give you a really good life. A life of freedom. A life that's full, powerful. A few years ago, I went on vacation. I was like, I just need to get away. And I went away from the kids and Matt. It was a girls' trip, right? Come on. Love me some girls' trips. And I was feeling really overwhelmed, and I just kept saying, I just need to get away for a couple days. This is going to be great. I'm going to get away. I'm feeling a little burnout. I'm feeling really stressed. I just need to get away. We're going to go sit by a pool. We're not going to do much. And it was great. I got there. The first day was amazing. I'm sitting by the pool. I'm feeling really relaxed. I'm feeling good. And by day two, that feeling of worry and anxiety started to come to the surface again. And I was like, what's happening? I'm on vacation. I can't have this feeling. I'm on vacation. You're supposed to be relaxed and rejuvenated on vacation, right? And I said, okay, I got to get away from all the girls for a minute. And I got to meet with God. And I got to ask God what's going on. Because I thought this was the solution. Go on vacation. So I go for a walk and I'm like, God, what's happening? I'm feeling so anxious. I'm feeling so overwhelmed. And I'm sitting by a pool. Like, how does that happen? I don't have children to even watch in the pool. I'm literally sitting by myself reading a book and just relaxing. And it wasn't a book. It was People Magazine, but don't judge me. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, what is it? And he said, Grace, what you need is not a vacation. What you need is not more time away. What you need is a constant rhythm in life with me. Yeah. that day to day, moment by moment, I'm filling you. And you're so depleted that you're like, let me go on vacation. Have you ever been burnt out on vacation? Have you ever come back from vacation and you're more tired? What is that? Like, I don't care. You could be in Hawaii for 2 weeks. You come home, you're like, I'm just tired. Shut up. You know, no one wants to hear that. So if that's you and you feel like no matter what I do, I just can't seem to get caught up. I can't seem, even if I take a moment to myself, even self-care, and I have a whole day at the park and no one talks to me. And yet the next day you're still mean, you know, you're still yelling at people, right? It didn't do the trick. If that is you, I want you to lean into this message this morning. I want you to posture yourself to hear something from the Lord. And lean into this. So can we sit up straight? Posture ourselves. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Tell three people, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Why don't you open your Bible with me to Matthew 11. We're in Matthew 11. There's a Bible under your seat. There's a Bible in your phone. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Maybe you've heard this passage before. I hope that maybe the Lord would breathe new life into it for you this morning. So 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in my Bible, this is written in red. That means Jesus said it. So I want to give you a little bit of context for what we're reading here. And in this passage, Jesus is addressing the people of Israel who are burdened and weighed down by the religious people. Because the Pharisees or the religious people have decided to add on rules and regulations for them to follow. They've made it really difficult to follow God. And they put expectations on people that they simply couldn't meet. Have you ever felt like there's an expectation on you that you just are never actually going to meet that expectation? From a boss, from a spouse? Or sometimes you're like, I feel like there's an expectation, but they haven't told me, so I'm going to try to do this. And oh, that wasn't it. Okay, maybe it's this. What a terrible way to live. The Pharisees had codified the Mosaic law into 365 laws and 250 commandments. So guys, they took the 10 commandments, started with 10 commandments, and they added on, they squeezed from those 10 commandments. What's the math? 615. I wrote that down. I did not just do that in my head. 615 new ways to be good, to find favor with God. From 10, whoa. Talk about pressure. Talk about stress. So the people are walking around like, how could you even remember all of those? It was hard enough to stick to the 10, like don't covet. Like you're so jealous all the time of everybody. And then now add 400 more to that? Like, what? How can I even? Oh my gosh. So you see the tension that Jesus walks into and he's like, whoa, come to me. Take on my yoke because it's easy and it's light. So this is really good news to the people that are hearing this. This is really good news to us. Because how many of us have those expectations that we're trying to live up to, right? Maybe it's, I should be married by now. I should own a home or two. You should move to Kansas and you could do that. My kids should behave this way, right? I should be fulfilled in my job and in my career. I should have all the right answers. I should never show weakness. I should be strong for everybody around me. All these expectations that are coming at us. And we wonder why we're stressed out. We wonder why we're anxious. We're part of the 40 million people. They would say, yep, a little anxious, a little stressed out in my life. I wonder why, because we're living attached to a yoke of society telling us what should be acceptable in our lives by this point, how much money should be in our bank account, what we should be looking like, what we should be driving, how we should be living. And it's actually burdening us and wearing us down. Don't worry, we're going to get to the solution and a good thing, okay? So hang in there. Everyone's like, I just want to go home now. I don't like this. I don't like it anymore. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy and light, he's saying that don't be tied up with the expectations that weigh you down and burden you. I had someone say to me, oh, your daughter isn't in soccer and ballet? I said, you get behind me. No, I'm just kidding. I said, oh, you want me to live my life and raise my kids to the expectation that you do, that your children are in everything and they look really stressed out and burnout and need therapy, but that's okay. You do what you gotta do. It's really hard not to try to live to the expectation of the world around us. Sorry, was that kind of judgy? I'm sorry. My mom's here. She's saying, yes, Grace, I was a little judgy. Okay. Okay, mom. All right. Your mom will always let you know, even in church when you're preaching. Okay. We're weighed down by the burdens and the expectations and the stress around us. And when we take on the yoke from Jesus, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means, his teaching, his way of living, it's easy and it's light. If you don't know, the yoke is this wooden contraption that attaches these two oxen, let's call them that. And do you notice how one oxen is larger than the other? Clearly, I'm not a farmer, okay? My gosh. Jeez, all right. The animals are... They're animals, right? Yes, they're animals. We see that one is larger than the other. And the readers and the hearers in the time would have understood this with Jesus talking about, don't be yoked to those other things, be yoked to me. They would understand because they would see this on a regular basis. Two animals put together plowing the fields, right? And what I sort of discovered this week, which was kind of neat, is that you see one is larger than the other. And a lot of the times they would put an elder oxen, ox, what is it? Someone tell me. Thank you, Rick. He has a degree in knowing these things. So they would put one of the elder, more seasoned oxes. Oh my gosh, this is so bad. So I'm sweating up here. That understood how to plow, understood how to carry the weight with a younger ox that was learning and preparing to know how to get out there and plow the fields. And when Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you, what's really interesting about this is the young ox is actually not even bearing much of the weight of that. The older ox is. He carries the majority of the load so that there's a training time that can happen as they learn to plow these fields. So when Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's saying, when you link up with me, I'm actually bearing the load so that you can learn without the struggle of being so weighed down and the pressure and the expectation. No. You get to do life with ease as he carries the weight. Is that good news for somebody? So when you're not feeling that, guess what you're yoked to? Not Jesus. Because he says, my burden is easy. It's light. My teaching is light. What are you believing? Are you believing you got to do a lot of really good things to earn God's favor? That's heavy. Are you believing you got to earn and work? And that's heavy. You believe that you have to have all the right answers for everyone in your family and have to be perfect all the time? Man, that's heavy. Jesus is saying, no. Link up with me. My burden is easy and light. He wants you to have freedom. He wants you to experience freedom. It's a call to discipleship. It's a call to get close to him and learn from him. Do what I do. Watch me It's going to be easy. It's going to be light. He desires to have relationship with us, that close, that intimate, that we're learning from him as we go. That doesn't mean we got it perfect. We know what we're doing all the time. Does anyone need to learn from Jesus a little bit? I don't care if you're 89 years old in this room. You need to learn from Jesus. And if you feel like you don't need to, you need to learn about your pride that's holding you back from learning from Jesus. Because I'm sorry, until the day I die, I want to be learning from Jesus how to live this life, how to best honor him, how to best serve others. Linking up with him is going to do that. It's going to be a life that is free from the pressure and the stress around us. So do you see how intentional you would have to be to stay in that place? Right? Because if he's saying that this is easy and light, then we have to be so intentional, because how quickly does it become not easy? This doesn't mean we don't work hard. But have you ever had a really you work so hard and you come home and physically you're tired, but in your mind, you're like, I'm ready to go. Because something you did all day long was energizing you and pumping you. Like, yeah, you need to go to bed for the night and wake up, but you're ready. That's what I feel like it's like with Jesus. When you're in the pocket with him and you're doing life with him, sure, you're tired by the end of the day because your physical body is tired, but you're ready to go. You're full of passion. You're full of excitement for what God has for you. If you've never experienced that, you need to link up with Jesus. If you're going home every day and you're ready to I'm done. I'm done with life. I'm done with this family. I'm done with everything. You are not, my friend, linked up with Jesus. You have a yoke of something else on you. Remember, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Man. But Jesus comes to give you life and life abundantly. So let's read that verse again in Matthew 11 with sort of that in our mind about the animals and the yoke and what Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We want that. We want that. If that's you and you just say, Jesus, I want that. Why don't you just tell him, Jesus, I want that. I want that kind of life, man. Man, I want easy. I want to have a deep rest. Even when I'm physically tired, I want to have a deep rest in my spirit. A deep settling in my spirit. A couple days ago, we had family photos done. So every fall, we try to document our family. And we take pictures, and the awesome Kayla, she's an amazing photographer, she did our family photos. And if anyone really knows family photo, the what happens behind the scenes, no one likes each other. Kids, you're cramming graham crackers in their mouth and then okay, now get over here and say cheese. You're pinching your children. You're so mad at your spouse. And then the photographer's now act like you love each other. And you're like, I want to hurt you, but okay. And now Kayla kept saying, now give each other a kiss. I was like, Kayla, okay. Calm down with the kisses. All right. We're good. Kayla, we're good. We kiss every once in a while. We're good. We don't need a photo of it. Okay. So this is a photo from a few years ago. Kayla did not do these photos, but she would do something so great too. Isn't this great? This was before Annie was even on the scene. Little did we know, a few months later. So this is Matt, obviously, myself, and little Mabel. Look how little she is. And Polly, look how cute. And this is how the photo turned out and how great it was. Look, this was on our Christmas card. Everyone thought, man, look at that family. They have it together. They're so beautiful. And then this is what was actually happening. I was squeezing her leg so tight. Smile. And look at Polly's hand. She's also squeezing Mabel. So this picture, Mabel actually isn't happy. She's afraid. All right. She is deeply afraid. If I don't smile, something's going to happen. Now go back again. This is what's really happening. Real life. So we do whatever we can to get these right pictures, right? This has nothing to do with my point. I just thought that is hilarious. But recently, we just went and had pictures again done. And Mabel, who is now almost 3 years old, she can't really be held down like that anymore and pinched. So she decides that she wants to just run. And Kayla's so sweet. And she's like, guys, I have this great location on the top of Culver City. It's going to look out. And it's going to be so beautiful. And she decides, you know, she doesn't have children yet. So it's okay, Kayla. I understand. But she brings us to this location. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, I think, because I literally did not see it. I literally was chasing Mabel everywhere. And we're like, Mabel, it's time for pictures. We're going to, you know, and she's like, she wanted to wear her Elsa dress. She didn't even want to be there. And we're like, come on. And there's this big, long slope that goes down like off a cliff, Kayla. And it's a slip. It literally is off a cliff. Tell the truth, Kayla. You brought us to a death zone for family photos. And there's this slope that goes down. And Kayla's doing, girl, guys, kiss each other. Meanwhile, Mabel is off to death, off the cliff. And I'm like, Kayla, wait right there. Mabel, stop. And if you ever seen a toddler run, they're all like head first. They're just like, and she's literally going down a slope off the cliff. And she's like this, you know, and she's like, if you know Mabel, smiling all the way down, you know, and Matt and I are going, stop, stop, come here, come here. She's, you know, maybe your children listen, mine need Jesus. They literally need Jesus. And she's running, come here, come here. And Matt is trying to like straddle bushes and get over this. It was ridiculous. And I'm like in like my cute, like, I'm like, come on, come here. Come here. And I finally say, stop your body. Because like, you know when you're going down and it's just like, and I know what's going to happen. She's going to mess up our photos, you guys, because she's going to hit her face. Oh, and get hurt. I mean, she's going to get hurt. Because the momentum, right, is going to take her down. And I know it. And Matt knows it. Kayla doesn't know it yet, you guys. Kayla doesn't know it yet, but we know it. And the momentum is going to take her down and face plant her. And then it's going to be all over. And so we know this. And we're going, wait, come here, come here. Stop your body. And so she stops. And she looks back. And then she starts going again. But just enough time for us to grab her. And when we read this message, where Jesus says, come to me. It is that same urgency. Those words, come to me, is that same urgency that I had with Mabel, because I knew what was going to happen. And Jesus knows what's going to happen, guys. If we continue the path where we're just running full steam ahead, we have a smile on our face. And Jesus is like, man, it's going to catch up and you're going to face plant. And not only are you going to hurt you, you're going to hurt a lot of people around you. Have you ever just messed up? Man, you messed up bad. And if you would have looked, if you would have paused and said, oh man, 10 steps back, had I maybe changed course, this wouldn't happen. If I, oh man, a month ago, if I would have slowed up, slowed down, gotten close to Jesus, man, I would not be here right now. Jesus is good. And he's saying, come to me. Whoa, slow up. Stop your body. Some of you need to stop your body physically. You do need to take a nap. You need to rest. You need to put margin in your life. Some of you literally run your life until you're just in a ditch. There are guardrails for a reason. And some of you need to heed those guardrails and go, whoa, 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 whoa. But when your identity is locked up in what other people think and what other people's expectations, you'll never heed the voice of God because you're so concerned about the voices all around you. You'll never listen for the still small voice from Jesus because you're so consumed with getting more and going ahead and everyone else is running this way, so I'm going to run this way. And Jesus is saying, whoa, 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 stop your body, come to me. Really quickly, these three words, come to me. The word come, the Greek word deut, is a strong appeal. It's literally what I was saying to Mabel. Come, come to me, come here, stop. I don't want you to hurt yourself, come. And Jesus is saying this to the listeners and he's saying this to us today, come. This is a strong appeal. Come. Don't go to all the other things. And it's one, come and let me be your savior. For many of us, or some of us that have not just said, Jesus, I want you to be my savior. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then for others, it's a call to deeper discipleship. That it's not enough to get by on what you've been getting by on. You need more. You know, if you're training for a marathon, you have to eat differently. When you get out there on the race, Matt had these like little gel packs that he would eat to fuel him as he went. And as you're going on your journey with Christ, you've given your life to the Lord and you've decided to walk with him. You need something different as you begin to walk with him. You need more of the word of God. You need more of his presence. You need to meet with him daily. So for some of us, it's that first call of just come to me. Jesus is saying, I want to be your savior. And then for many of us, it's, hey, come a little bit closer. Come into deeper discipleship with me. Is this for anybody today? Yeah. That word come is a strong appeal. John 3:17 says that Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save us. He wants you to have a life of abundance. Remember? And then this word too. This word too is used to even describe the fellowship between the Father and the Son. It's a word of intimacy. Just this little word too. Come to me. Come into intimacy with me. Come close enough that you know me and that I know you. This word, I like to say, the intimacy is like in to me, you see. Does anyone truly know you? I mean, sure, you hang out with people and you talk and you have so many followers, but does anyone really know you? Have you allowed yourself to be fully known by God? He sees you, he knows you, but have you invited him into the dark places that nobody else knows? That no one else knows about? Have you told him what you're struggling with? Have you told him where you're at? How you're fearful? How you're anxious? Have you invited him in to that place? It's a place of intimacy. And when Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, come, get close. I want you to know me and I want to know you. That can be scary if you don't know the love of God. If you've been burned and hurt, and you've told someone a secret and they've told other people, or they've shunned you because of it, or they shamed you because of it, or then yeah, it's scary to get honest. Friends, Jesus can be trusted. Come close. Come close. I want to see you. I want to know you. And we say that to Jesus. Jesus, I want to see you. I want to know you. John 5:19 says, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. There's such an intimacy between the Father and the Son that Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I wonder how much rest we would experience in life if we only did what we saw God doing. If we only said yes to the things he tells us to say yes to. If we only moved at the pace at which he's asking us to move, I wonder what life would feel like. That's the life that Jesus had. He did what his Father said to do. Man. And then this last word, me, come to me. It's a personal pronoun, me. Literally Jesus, come to me. Because he's saying all these Pharisees are giving you all these rules and all these regulations. No, 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 no. Come to me. Learn from me. Jesus was about to put on full display what it was to lay your life down for another. He was going to the cross. And he's saying, hey, you look to me. You follow me. See what I do, how I lead, how I live, where I gain my strength from. We say here at Vintage Faith, come as you are. And that can be messy. And that can be hard. Because a lot of times we want to put regulations on it, right? Well, you should probably stop A, B, C. And Jesus says, come to me, to me. You don't need to get yourself cleaned up. You don't need to have, you know, behavioral modification. Sometimes that's what we do, right? Well, I'm just going to stop doing this. Have you ever just tried to be good? Have you? Have you ever just tried to be healthy? Like, I am no more donuts. No more. Right? And then what happens when you're really hungry? Oh, and you show up to work and someone's like, I went to Randy's. And you're like, it's Randy's. It's like a Los Angeles staple. I have to have the donut. And I'm so hungry and starved, I'm going to eat that donut. And then I'm going to justify while I'm eating the donut because I have to live. I have to have something in my stomach. Man, I wonder how often we just try to be good, try to be healthy, and we're so starved that the first thing that comes along, oh my gosh, well, I just had to, Grace. You don't understand my struggle. You don't understand. What are you plugged into? You wouldn't eat the donut if you woke up and you made yourself a nice little egg white scramble with some vegetables, a little Tabasco on there, a little piece of wheat toast. You get to work and there's donuts. You're like, I don't care about Randy's. I'm full. We're walking through our lives starved. We're walking through our lives on empty. So the first thing that pops up, we're like, that's it. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Let me fill you. Let me renew you. Let me give you every single thing that you need so you're not looking to the left and to the right to be fulfilled. You're not going from one relationship to the next relationship to another relationship thinking that that's going to fulfill you. Anybody here today? You want to be filled with something? Remember the woman at the well? Oh, the woman at the well who just wanted some water, and Jesus came and said, let me give you some water. You'll thirst no more. What's he talking about? He's not talking about H2O, people. He's talking about a living water that's in us, that's dwelling in us, that's sustaining us. Oh my gosh, they put a new drip system in my backyard. I don't even have to turn on the water. It just always is dripping. The water's always on. It's always feeding. All of a sudden, I'm like, man, have you seen our plants out there? They're looking amazing. You guys, they were always dying before because I would forget to water them. Jesus is our endless supply. He's our endless drip. I mean, come on. Man. Wow. When he says, come to me, don't go to all the rules and the thing. Like, you'll even do that. You'll come to church and, okay, I'm just going to read my Bible. Just going to read my Bible. That's what I need to do. Which you do need to do that, but not out of some religious obligation. You do it because you're in love with Jesus and you want to get in his word and you want to know what he says. Because what you're listening to in your head isn't doing it. I was at Starbucks the other day and I got in this conversation with this guy. It's a long story. I won't get into it, but gosh. And he starts telling me, I'm spiritual. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. I just wanted to have my Starbucks and I just wanted to not talk to this guy. I didn't want to be a good neighbor. He's like, I'm spiritual. And I said, okay. It's when you know the Lord's like, Grace, you're a pastor. Come on. And I took out my headphones. I thought maybe he would stop talking. And he didn't. I took out my headphones and I was like, oh, you're spiritual. Tell me about that. And he starts talking about all the different things that he does. And I said, how's that working out for you? And he's like, well, I'm still searching. And I said, yeah, you are. And you're going to keep searching until you find Jesus. Put the headphones in, drop the mic. No. You're going to keep searching. I promise you, moving out of state, you're going to keep searching. I promise you, buying that house, you're going to keep searching. I promise you, driving a Tesla will help, but you will keep searching. You will keep searching. You'll be searching in style. You know what I mean? So Lord, we need that. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Get filled up. He has living water. Living water. Look at her running. And I'm saying, come to me. Find rest in a restless world. It's only found in Jesus. My friend Christine Kane says, you don't burn out doing the right things. You burn out because of what you don't do. You don't burn out doing the right things. You burn out because of what you don't do. And many of us just keep adding good things. No. What are you not doing? Are you not spending time with Jesus? Are you not taking time to meet with him? It's so awesome that you're here, and we're almost done with this message, and you'll take a couple notes, or you'll remember a couple funny things, and you'll walk out this door. But if you do not get close to Jesus, you're going to find yourself back here on Sunday. If Sunday's the only fuel up time that you get, you're going to be lacking in your life. You wonder why, as soon as you walk out these doors, you get in the car, you yell at your spouse on the way home. Really? Really? Really, guys? You didn't even leave the parking lot? Really? We see the prayer requests that come in. We know. We know what's happening. Is that too real? I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. What are you doing with this information that you come and all the podcasts you're listening to? What are you doing with all that? With all the knowledge you have of all the Bible stories you've read, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with it? If you're nasty and you keep falling into that ditch of sin, what's happening? Man, we got to get plugged into the source. Jesus, it's a moment to moment. It's a day to day. And listen, there's not shame attached to that. That's just like survival. I'm not coming at you with shame. I'm not coming at, no. I'm coming at you with like, I get it. I've got to get alone with Jesus on a regular basis. It's because of what we don't do. What rhythms are not in your life to connect with the Lord? Jesus had this figured out, and we're gonna end in just a moment. Luke 5:15. And I want you to see this. Jesus says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sickness. I want you to understand, Jesus started to get, his name started to get spread around. They started to get a following. He couldn't go anywhere without crowds coming, needing something from him, needing to be healed, needing to be restored. Those are all good things, right? And what does Jesus do? But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus, God, went to pray, went to be alone. He was not dictated by what people were saying all around him because they needed him. And let me tell you, people are going to need you all around you. But if God himself had to draw away to be alone and get quiet and pray, what do you think that you have to offer someone? When you yourself, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to be, my family needs me, Grace. You don't understand. My family needs me. Really? You didn't think the masses of people needed Jesus, and Jesus understood what he needed. Divine connection with his Father. He got away often and went to lonely places. That's nobody else around. That's no one else distracting him with images and things. And he didn't go to the coffee shop, right? He went to the Bible says, like, the desert. Nobody else was there. And he prayed. Jesus prayed? I mean, what is it like? Hey, dear you. You know, like, but if Jesus gets alone often in quiet places, alone by himself, and prays and communes with his Father, what do we think that how we can go day to day and not do that and survive? Jesus. Guys, God himself got alone often. You are not too busy. You are not too important. Can I just tell you that you will die one day and everyone else will move on? You need to hear this. You are not that important. I am not that important. I don't mean that from like Jesus loves you. I'm saying when you think you're so important that you have to show up to every single thing and you have to have the answer to every single thing and you have to provide for every single person. No. God himself withdrew to be alone, to get restored, to commune with his Dad. How much more do we need this, church? This needs to sink in because in America, we believe that time alone, time away is selfish. You're lazy. You don't work hard. That's a lie from the enemy. What does he do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he steal, kill? He keeps you so busy and burn out that you can't get replenished and refreshed. Even so much more for Christians who the world is looking at us going, well, what do you have? I've tried all these things. Well, what do you have? And we're like, well, I'm really tired. And I don't know where that voice came from, but that's my really tired voice. Well, I'm really tired and I'm really burnt out and I don't got much for anybody else. Come follow me. Come to church with me on Sunday. Yes. What? But when you see someone who has living water, that they have a rest that doesn't make sense, they have a peace that doesn't make sense. So really quick, one, we need to make this often. We need to come to Jesus often. We need to get quiet and we need to connect. We need to come often. We need to get quiet and we need to connect. And in today's world, getting quiet is literally scary for people. To shut off your phone, put it in airplane mode. If you have anxiety, that means you probably have an addiction. You need to turn it off. I'm so serious. Does anyone want rest? Does anyone want that kind of life that Jesus is talking about? Anybody? Anybody want that kind of life? That's easy and light? And here's the thing, it's an adventure with Jesus. He's not just saying like, come on, it's gonna be so easy. It's gonna be so fun. You're gonna see things and do things that you never thought you could ever do or see with me. And it's gonna be easy and it's gonna be light. As soon as you feel like you're striving and you're working really hard, whoa, what am I yoked to? What am I tied to? Man, I'm just so angry and stressed out and overwhelmed. Whoa, come to me. Maybe you're running too quickly on that downward ramp. Whoa, stop your body. Come to me. Come, urgency, into intimacy, often. Get quiet so you can hear my voice. Get quiet so you can hear my voice. There's so much noise around you. There's so much distraction around you. Get quiet and connect to the true power source. Would you stand with me? I want to say something that I'm not making light of mental illness and people that really struggle with anxiety, depression. I firmly believe coming to Jesus is number one, but it's okay to seek a doctor, medication. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the everyday struggles of just getting out of the flow where it used to be fun with the Lord, where it was easy and it was light, and life was an adventure, and you enjoyed it. And when was the last time you just enjoyed the cup of coffee? You really smelled it, and you sat, and you just enjoyed it. When was the last time you walked at the beach? You took your shoes off, and you put your feet in the sand. And you didn't have music playing. You were just listening to the waves. When was the last time you sat in quiet and you didn't rifle off like, well, I need this and what's happening? No, you're just quiet. Just to be quiet and just to be with Jesus. When we start to feel that anxiety rise and that fear rise and that overwhelmness rise, I want you to say, whoa, stop your body. Stop your body. Jesus is saying, come to me. Urgency into intimacy. And sure, that might mean getting out your scriptures and reading the word of God. It might, but I just want you to start with just stop your body. Stop your body. Turn your face to him. Turn your face to him. Get quiet. Get still. And we're going to take 30 seconds and we're going to do that. And for some, it might feel like the longest 30 seconds of your life. And for others, you're going to go, oh, can we go back to that place? Once you close your eyes, posture yourself, sit up nice and tall. Don't slouch. Take a nice deep breath in. Nice and deep and let it out. Oh, let's do that one more time. Take a nice deep breath in. let it out. I just want you to put your hands in front of you like you're receiving a gift. Hands up to heaven, just in a posture of surrender, a posture of accepting what he has for you. Notice how your hands are empty. And we're coming to you, Jesus. And we're letting go of the stress and the anxiety and the expectations. I should be this kind of mom. I should be this kind of husband. I should be this kind of boss. I should be living this kind of life. And we lay it all down and we say, Jesus, here are my open hands. I come to you. I want to be yoked to you, Jesus. Just take 30 seconds, be quiet before him. What are we not doing, Lord? We're doing so much, but what are we not doing that connects us directly with you? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give each person one thing to implement that gets them closer to you, Jesus. What's the one thing? Is it taking time alone? Is it turning off the music on the way to work? Is it just waking up and saying, Jesus, I want to meet with you today? Is it reading more of the word? Is it worshiping? What is it that we're not doing that's going to direct us and connect us to the ultimate power source of who you are, Jesus? We need that. The world needs it. May we be an example to the world of how to live in rest, how to live in peace, because we're so connected to the power source. And Jesus, I pray right now for anyone who this adds a burden. They feel more overwhelmed. No. Jesus, come. Come with your peace and wash over every person. There's no striving in your presence. There's no trying really hard in your presence. There's grace to make mistakes. There's grace to not get it right all the time. And he's just looking at your heart and he's saying, would you just take a step, just one step closer to me? And Jesus, we do. We say, God, we want to come one step closer to you. We want to live in your peace. Amen. You can experience his presence at any point. In your car, at work, in the bathroom, doing the dishes. Actually, for men, it happens more when you do the dishes. I read that somewhere. In the Greek, dishes mean... Hey, we love you guys so much. We believe in you. We believe in what God's doing in your life and that he's using you and wants to partner with you. And when we say be the church, how can we possibly be the church if we're not actually plugged into the source, right? So let's get plugged in so that we can be the church and we can love those around us. That guy at Starbucks who's still searching, you can take your headphones out and listen. Amen. Hey, we love you. We'll see you next week. Be the church.